Acts. We're going to start out in Acts chapter 14. We're going to review just a little bit. We talked last week about how Paul was sent out, how the Holy Ghost anointed him to go out and start his missionary journeys, how men laid their hands on him and he knew what God wanted him to do. And I challenged you last week, if you know that God wants you to do something, bless God, do it. Don't wait around for permission. Just go ahead and do that. Of course, you're going to need to talk to your pastor. Your pastor's like your check valve, if you will, to make sure that you're doing what the Lord would have you to do, and the pastor will kind of help you out with that. But understand this, you always want to do what God wants you to do. Doesn't matter what men tell you to do. Understand that. I want you to get a hold of that in your hearts, that if God has told you to do something, you don't have to wait around for man to give you permission. The preacher is a fantastic check valve, though. It works two different ways. You want to be in tune with what God wants, but you're supposed to be. And listen, you've got a great preacher here.
Amen.
We are very fortunate. Not every church has a great preacher. Let me put it to you a different way. Not every church has a great pastor.
Amen.
Okay? We've got a great pastor. And our pastor, I'm so thankful, he desires for you to have exactly what God wants you to have. And he'll be able to help you to discern at times what God wants you to do. And if you go to him and tell him, I believe God wants me to do this, I guarantee you, if the Spirit bears witness with him, he will be 100% behind you and help you out. There's churches, though, that the pastor won't help you in that aspect, and he'll tell you and give you bad advice. We're lucky we don't have that here, but there are times in churches that do that. If God tells you to do something, please understand, do it. Don't wait around. Do it. Because we have no time left. We're in the last days, and I'm not a doomsday preacher. We get so upset and uptight about the things that are coming in our country. Understand this. God's in control. Can you understand that God's in control? We are fortunate enough to live in the greatest country on the planet. I've been fortunate enough to spend 39 years here on this planet and in this country. Only thing better would have been Hawaii. But understand this, we live in the greatest country on the planet. We were founded by God. God has made us a place where we can be, and I'm going to be honest with you. I don't care if everything comes tumbling down around us. I don't care if everything, the stock market crashes, the depression comes. Understand this, America lived through one, we can live through another. God has brought us this far. He's going to take us the rest of the way. Amen.
Amen.
So if God tells you to do something, please do it. And when you do it, here's what, I'll get to this in a second. I watch Christians serve, and I'm going to help you just a little bit here. I fall prey to this a lot, but I want to help you a little bit today. You can serve God better with a smile on your face.
Amen.
Than you can with a frown on your face. If you're going to talk to somebody about the Lord, don't do it frowning. I know. Any salesman will tell you it's easier to sell anything, and we're not selling God, I understand that, but it's easier to sell anything with a smile on your face than it is with a frown on your face.
Amen.
You go to tell someone, let me tell you about what God's done for me. Let me tell you, when Paul taught, and we'll get to the rejoice always, and again I say rejoice. When you go through what Paul went through, and we're going to get to some of that today, and he says, rejoice always, and again I say rejoice, I wonder if he has to tell himself that over and over again. Because there's times, Christian, I understand, when you're serving God, there are times when you just don't want to take that next step for God. Now, preacher, you're telling me there's days that you don't want to serve God? Yeah, I'm telling you that. But I know this, that God helps you through. And by the way, the days that you don't want to serve God, if you decide to serve Him and you're obedient, those are probably the best days you're ever going to have. Because God knows your frame. God knows who you are. God knows your insides. And yes, if you get a Christian that goes, I love to serve God every day, they're lying to you. Because there are days as human beings that we don't want to serve God. God knows that. And those are the days that if you'll pick up your Bible and you will go and you will serve God, even when you don't want to do it, you'll do things for God, even when you don't want to do them. A perfect example is when we started the jail ministry. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. I went into the jail ministry, and I'm going to be honest with you, I was excited about it, but I didn't want to do it. As all of you are gasping. I didn't want to do it. I was scared, nervous. And then I went into the jail ministry the first time, and I'm telling you, 45 men walked in, and I knew these men were all lawbreakers. By the way, let me tell you something. You're a lawbreaker too, Christian. And here I am standing in front of all those men, and they walk in. The first week, we were only allowed to take two people. And the CO stayed with them, and everything was great. And I walked in, and I just looked at these men, and I got scared. I didn't want to do it. But I went anyhow. And when you've got your father-in-law as the preacher, he's got a big foot and a huge fist, and you do basically what he tells you to do. Not going to lie to you there. But I went, got the chance to preach to him. They wanted to hear preaching more than singing. Glory to God. And every person in that room but five accepted Jesus as their Savior that day. I couldn't believe it. Now listen to me. There's days that you are going to do and you're going to feel like not serving God. There's days in Paul's missionary journeys that he did not feel like serving God. I promise you. But day after day after day, he went and served God anyhow. And in the days that it was the bleakest, he found the most victory. In the days when it was the most difficult, he found the most promise. And what you've got to understand is this. I get a little tired of these guys on the TV all the time preaching to you prosperity. And if you do these things, God will bless you. Claim the promises of God. Claim the blessings of God. That preaches well, and you'll fill buildings with it. But it's just not fact.
That's right. Right. Yes,
sir. It's not fact. Hey, listen to me. I know men that serve God with all their hearts all the time. I think of Brother Carl McDaniel. Brother Carl McDaniel does not live in a mansion on the hilltop with $6 million in the bank. Amen. Do you?
Yeah.
Let me, because if you do, brother, I need to talk to you right after Sunday school.
Amen.
Understand this. He is one of the most faithful men that I know.
Amen.
And yes, the Lord has blessed him with a great life. But understand this, the Lord, the prosperity that men try to tag on God is not the prosperity that the Lord speaks of when you serve Him. I get so tired. I would love to hear what the turnover is in Joel Osteen's church of people that come in and fill his Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets full of money. Hey, Brother Gray went to Rod Parsley, whatever his name is. He went to his church. And they pass around Kentucky Fried Chicken-sized buckets for their offerings because they can't contain them in ones like this. And the people give this money expecting God to prosper them 100 times over, like the preacher says. And when He does not, where do the people go? Faith is not something that you can grab a hold of, Christian. Oh, you may be blessed, but understand this. Paul did not live in a mansion. Do you think Paul served God? The Lord prospered his journey, and Paul still got stoned. Do you understand what I'm trying to get to you today, Christian? Your life may be having valleys in it, but I thank God for the valleys, and you may say, oh, that's dumb. I thank God for the valleys because that lets me know how high the mountaintop is. Because when you stand on the mountaintop, Christian, the only place to go. But if you're in the valley, the only place to go, man, that's good stuff. Hey, listen, Paul, in his missionary journeys, walked most of the time in the valley. But glory to God, how high was the mountaintop when he got there? So let's look at Acts chapter 14. And it came to pass in Iconium, this is verse 1, that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude of both the Jews and also of the Greeks believed. Thank God for that. Now, we went over this a little bit last week, that the vast majority of the places that Paul went and started to preach, many people got saved and they got upset. Not the people that got saved, but the people that were there got upset because he was preaching the gospel. Now, any time that you take a stand for the Word of God, any time that you take a stand for Jesus Christ, there's going to be people there that don't like that anymore. It's getting to the point where it's even in our own fundamentalism that people are getting upset when you stand up for the Word of God. Let me give you a little help here. Stand anyhow. Amen. Let the whole world get upset, but you hold on to your King James Bible. Amen. Let the whole world get upset, but you hold this as the inspired, preserved, perfect, inerrant, infallible, incorruptible Word of God. Because let me ask you one question. It's so simple. If the Bible's not all of those things, how can it be any of those things? And if it's not any of those things, what exactly do we have? That being said, verse 2, the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil, affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But I want you to understand here, and I want you to see that this evil affected against the brethren, they therefore stayed a long time. Now, I get a lot of folks that, man, they say something and somebody gets mad and they're done talking now. I've had discussions with my friends that have said, hey, listen, I don't believe the way you do about the King James Bible. I didn't just tuck tail and run, brother. You got to stand up for your Bible. Now, I will tell you this, though. Don't go in talking about what you think you believe. Hey, listen, I've said this a lot of times, folks, and I'll keep on saying it. Don't rely on the faith of Brother Dave Ballard to do anything here. Don't rely on the faith of Dr. Skiver to do anything in your life. If you want to have faith, you better find it on your own. You better get with God. You better commune with him. You better get inside of his scripture, because that's where you're going to find your faith. The faith comes from the scripture. So then faith cometh by Dr. Skiver? No. So then faith cometh by Brother Dave? No. So then faith cometh by Carl McDaniel? No. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Stay in your Bible and don't backpedal. But you got to stay in your Bible. See, don't think for 1 minute that you're going to go into a battle of wits with a man who has studied all the corruption and you go in unarmed. You better know what you believe, my friend. You better understand what your faith is in. A lot of folks, yeah, I'm saved, but you have no idea what the faith is that you're supposed to be contending for. You better know what you believe. Because if you don't know, how are you going to stand? If you don't know, I'm not saying you have to be a Bible scholar. I don't think that a Bible scholar exists. I hear 100 times over, well, I trust in this man because he's a Bible scholar. He's a moron. If he calls himself a Bible scholar, he's a moron. A Bible scholar does not exist. To sit there and say, well, I'm so smart in the scriptures, you should all trust me. No, that's not what the Lord teaches you. Yes, sir. The Lord teaches you to search the scriptures.
Yes, sir.
Because that's where you're going to find him.
Amen.
You're not going to find him reading a documentary by Pastor What's-His-Fuss, a great commentary, because I listen to John Hagee every weekend. I'm smarter in the scriptures. John Hagee's a dynamic man that's nuts. Well, you shouldn't call out names. Well, buckle your seatbelt. Here's the problem. Our preachers are scared to death today to say anything about anybody else that might be against the Word of God. Here's where you break it down. I'm for the people that stand up for the King James Bible. I'm against them that try to take it down. Now, you can be with Brother David, don't be. I don't care if you're with me or not. This is where I'm going to stand.
Amen.
Long time. Listen, you need to read this now. Understand where Paul's coming from. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord. Not just speaking boldly, my friend. Speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto what? The word of his grace. And granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But understand, they were giving testimony of his word long before the works were done.
Amen.
Hang on to that. So go move up to verse 8 here. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, perceiving that he had the faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. He was probably pretty excited about that, wasn't he? And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speak of Lysonia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." Hey, listen, if you saw somebody actually heal, I'm not talking about Ernest Angley or Benny Hinn healing, I'm talking about actual healing of somebody in the name of Jesus Christ, really heal somebody that you knew, like Brother Dave, he does have a little bit, Dave Id, does have a little bit of a walk with him. If you saw somebody come in and say, "Stand upright, walk right, and beat," he'd be run up and down here. He runs pretty good, I'm going to be honest with you. I think the cane is just a facade. I've seen him run up and down here with no problem, okay? But anyways, let's say that Dave all of a sudden, well, man, all of a sudden, wow, that's awesome. Can I help you? If God does it, the person that's doing the healing will not want the credit. Amen. If God's doing it. Amen. If you, and that goes with, when it comes to the work of God, if you have a fella that desires you to put him here, run. If you have a fella that's going to tell you that he is so great, "I don't need God's help." Well, they might not say those words exactly, but that's what they're trying to tell you. Look what happens here. It says, this is the example that I'm giving. The same heard Paul speak steadfastly, beholding him and perceiving that he had the faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet," and leaped to walk. These people got excited. Amen. I would get excited too. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lysonia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people, sacrifice unto Paul and Barnabas. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the seas and all things that there are in, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own way." Listen to me. If just a couple of chapters before, and I don't know what the time frame is, Herod stood there and gave great oration to the people. And when they said he was a god, he didn't tell him he wasn't. God who will not be mocked. And boy, by the way, I would to God that this would happen once in a while in America today. Fell down dead and the worms ate him up. Now, I'm not saying that that's the reason that Paul and Barnabas did what they did. What I'm saying is Paul and Barnabas knew their place. And they ran in and said, hey, we are not gods. We are men just like you. And if you get a preacher that'll stand up here and say, "I'm a man just like you," I'm going to be honest with you, you'll trust him a lot quicker than you will another man. Preachers that think they don't have any sin, just like the Bible said, they deceive themselves. Preachers that say, I know so much more than the average Christian. That's so foolish. Preachers, most times, boy, they're chief sinners. God does a miraculous work somehow to make them able to preach the Word of God. But I stand before you today a convicted sinner. And only by God's grace have I been able to do anything. Anything. Paul knew this. He knew who he was. See, when I think of the name Paul, I think of another word that goes with him. It's called humility. Paul knew who he was all the time. He never lost the focus on where he had been. He never lost the focus on who had brought him out of where he had been. And he never lost the focus even when he was going through. Listen, when he was a Pharisee, a chiefest of the Pharisees, a smart guy walking around in his perfect garments, he was in a sinful state that when he finally went to prison as a Christian and was in one of the Praetorian prisons, knee-deep in his own filth, and he was preaching Christ, man would say, well, that's a terrible fate compared to what he had before. Paul says, this is wonderful. This was terrible. See, a lot of folks liken their success on this world to how great of a Christian they are. No. Your success in this world has nothing to do with how great of a Christian you are. Your obedience to God is what exactly tells you what your success is for Him. Your obedience to Him. Paul was obedient. Now listen. When the apostles Barnabas and Paul, they rent their clothes, ran among the people. Look at verse 16. Who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, even when they walked in their own ways, and all nations do, by the way. Who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. I'm going to tell you, if rain is likened to blessings, Ravenna is the most blessed place in the world. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither a certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, that's where they just were, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul. Now listen, now Paul gets, now he just healed somebody. Amen? The people are excited. Amen? But these two, or certain Jews, didn't say two, from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. They stoned him to where he looked as though he was dead. Can you imagine if you were the man that had just been healed, what you'd be feeling right now? The man that put his hands on me and healed me is now being thrown out of the city, being like he was dead. I'd feel terrible. Man, I'm healed, I'm wrong, I'm running around. And now he's almost dead, hanging out the outside of the city. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And listen to this. And the next day, he was stoned where they thought he was dead. The next day. Do you see what I'm saying to you, Christian? The vast majority of Christians will take a day off for a broken fingernail. I can't go serve God today. I didn't have my manicure done yet. I can't go serve God today. My football team's playing. I would serve God, but I'm at the Jake today, or Progressive Field, whatever it is. I can't serve God. I've got to go fishing. And the next day, he was stoned to where they thought he was dead. He gets up, and the next day, he departs with Barnabas to Derbe. He took off because he knew he had to preach. Man, I would to God that we would find people today. I can't say I'm one of them, Christian. I can't. I've never been stoned, thank God. Could you imagine being stoned? If you don't know what stoning is, it's exactly what it says. It's exactly what it says. You stand there and you get rocks chucked at you until they're done chucking. Could you imagine the pain? The bumps, the bruises, the bleeding. Paul rises up, and the next day, I got to go preach. What obedience. What humility. Good Lord, have mercy. And look, went to Derbe, and in 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again. Listen to this. They returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. You remember what we just talked about 2 seconds ago? Hey, don't. People came from Antioch and Iconium to stir up the people against Paul and Barnabas, and they stirred them up so well that Paul got rocks chucked at him. So much so that he almost died. And he got up, went one city further to Derbe, preached there, taught many, then turned around and went back to where he just got stoned. That, my friends, is bravery. Let me explain something to you. If you were on a bus route and you went out to a door and not so went anything, you go out and you knock on a door and somebody comes out and splits your melon with a rock, you're not going back. Paul, he only went one city further. Now listen, this could be weeks, months, even a year. Do you think they forgot? Even if it was a year, do you think they forgot? I mean, I saw a timeline on this. They said the whole missionary journey was 6-8 years. I wasn't there. Does that matter? He was walking to these places. Walking in sandals. Or maybe bare feet. He goes back to the place where he was just almost killed so he can establish Christian churches. We will miss Sunday school because we're tired. Oh, no, and don't think for 1 minute, I got to teach it. Hey, listen, I can't wait to do this. This is the preacher's vacation. Sunday is the preacher's day off. I'm going to be honest with you. The rest of the week is what's hard. Sunday's fun. Listen to me. What's amazing is there's days that I don't want to get out of bed because it's soft and warm. Paul was almost killed, and he went back to church. Back to the church, back to the place that hated him. Back to the place that went after him. Back to the place that the Jews were so stirred up against him that they cast him out of the city. Now understand, he was cast out of two cities before that too. Cast out. Get out of here. All because he preached the word, by the way. And all because he didn't back off of preaching the word. They cast him out because he drew big crowds. And the Gentiles showed up because up until that time, they hadn't heard that they were, you mean we're allowed to go to heaven? The Gentiles, they got excited. And by the way, you should be excited too, Gentiles. You should be, except for you. Thank the Lord. Amen. We should be excited that God has given us a way to be saved. Amen. But because that didn't fit with the monetary considerations of the churches of those cities, and that's what it's all about, by the way, because it didn't fit with the monetary considerations of those cities, they said, we got to get them out of here because apparently salvation's free. I've told this story before. I'll never forget it. I do funerals one or two a week. The Lord's blessed me with that. And I went to a graveside because it was a little boy. The casket was only this big. And they went to put him in the grave, and this was a Catholic funeral. The priest was there the day before, and the priest, they lowered the casket into the vault, and they went to put the lid on the vault, and it wouldn't fit. The casket was too big for the vault. So they had to take the casket back out, and they wouldn't be able to get a new vault till the next day. And the priest was from Pennsylvania. The priest had to go back to Pennsylvania. Now listen, I've heard things like this, but I never experienced it firsthand until this time. They took the casket back out of the grave, and they kept the casket in the funeral home for one more day. I came back the next day because the priest could not return from Pennsylvania, glory to God. And you'll understand why in a second. So they called me in to do a Catholic burial. I walk up to the folks, they're weeping. I mean, they are beside themselves. As if burying a child isn't enough. The priest told them, has the boy been baptized? I'm not making this up, folks. Has the boy been baptized? Family said, no. The priest said to them, there's a way that he can go to heaven, but he's not there right now. If you will bring a check, for $10,000. I will pray him into heaven. If you bring a check for $10,000, I will pray him into heaven. I wanted to throw up. I wanted to throw up. I didn't know this when I was doing the graveside. I didn't know this until after. I'm preaching. He cannot return unto me, but I can go to him. David's child. Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. I'm preaching. This boy is running on streets of gold today. I mean, I'm excited with a big smile. I'm saying, hey, listen to me, folks. I know that it wasn't enough time. I know that you feel bad, but understand this, that boy, he wouldn't come back from heaven even if he could. That boy's safe today, and I'm so excited to know that Jesus Christ loves us enough that when we're children and we don't know the difference between sin and not sin, when we're children and we're not sure of how to get saved, when we're children and we die, the Lord takes us to heaven. Glory to God. The people come up to me afterwards weeping and saying, preacher, this is what happened yesterday. And they told me. I looked at the man, I said, you're lucky I wasn't here. Anybody tells me my baby's going to hell, I'm going to jack his jaw. Hey, listen, it's hard enough to bury somebody. I didn't believe them until they pulled the check out of their pocket. They said, we used our home equity line of credit to give the priest. It was made out to the priest. It was made out to the priest. It wasn't made out to the Holy Roman Catholic Church in the Vatican, made out to the poop, a pope. That's blasphemy. I can't believe you said that word. Let me explain something to you. That pope is stinky just like you are. Amen. That pope is sinful just like you are. What's funny is they will fill football stadiums to go kiss that man's ring. I'd love to have a shot at kissing him. Hold up the check and showed me, preacher, look at this. And I said, let me tell you something. Money cannot buy your way to heaven. I don't care how much you got. Heaven's been paid for. All you got to do is accept the gift. And right there, six people trusted Christ as their Savior in the middle of that cemetery. Let me explain something to you. If we don't tell people, you just don't realize. You walk through this earth without the realization that people don't know the truth anymore. Until you're hit with it right in your face. Wow, they really don't know. They really don't realize. Paul knew this. I'm going to tell you right now. Paul knew that the people did not know that. Paul knew that the Gentiles were not aware that all they had to do is accept Christ as their Savior. Paul knew this. He would not be stopped. There are people out there, I've said this before, that only you can win. Oh, yes, Christ does the saving. But only you have the ability to tell them, because they'll only hear you. The problem is we're not saying it. We're not speaking it. Now listen, we're wrapping up this today. He went back to tell the people, keep going. He went back to tell the churches, and let me explain something to you. I want you to think with me. Please take yourself to the, I love to do this. When I'm reading scripture, I love to put myself there. Think about the the church that he established in the place where he was stoned. Can you imagine your pastor walking across the parking lot at Bethel Baptist Church and the people so enraged that they stoned him? And he went away to another city and continued to preach. I want you to think with me now. They're having church. Think with me. And in walks Paul. Can you imagine the feeling of the people? The feeling of watching that warrior for God walk back into their city. Paul, when you left us, you were bleeding and bruised and battered. When you left us, Paul, we didn't think you were alive. We saw you there outside of the city. And when you left, oh, Paul, we felt so bad. Paul didn't walk in with a frown on his face. Paul walked in, said, "Glory to God, let's have church." Paul walked in. How do you think the people felt when Paul walked back in? How do you think the people felt when that warrior that had suffered that stoning, maybe at the hands of some of them that were sitting there? That's possible that somebody that was chucking the stones had been saved and gotten in church by that time. It's possible. Possibly a man that had chucked a stone at him was sitting in the congregation. Possibly. At least witnesses were sitting there. At least witnesses. And let me explain something to you. When something bad happens, Christian, do you tuck tail and never come back? When something bad happens and adversity comes, do you leave and never come back? Glory to God, I know people that have done that and never come back to the house of God. I thank God for Paul that he was bruised and battered and beaten, kicked out of the city, yet he came back because he wanted to show the people, you can serve God and suffer. Every battle is won or lost by the morale of the soldiers. Say what you want to say. If there's one that will stand up, just one that will stand up and say, I want to go forward for Christ no matter what the cost. If there's just one that will go forward in battle and say, no matter what, I'm going to fight. General George Washington, if you read any books about him, he was shot at. He was in some of the worst times ever in the military at Valley Forge and places of that nature that was just terrible conditions, yet he went on. People say the last days are going to be horrible. They may be. But these are the days that we can show people. You, Christian, not just the preachers. You, Christian, not just the teachers. You can show people that I am going to continue to serve no matter what occurs. He walks back in the room and the people, do you think for 1 minute those people didn't applaud him coming in? Do you think the people didn't gasp when they saw Paul enter the room? You're back here after what they did or we did to you. You're here. And I can see him telling the people, I'm here because I love you. And we have got to establish a church here. But Paul, they almost killed you. They need Christ. But Paul, they left you for dead. But they need life. But Paul, they couldn't wait to stone you. But they couldn't wait to crucify my Savior either. And I've led a life that has killed people and imprisoned people. I want to lead a life for the rest of my life of making people free through Jesus Christ. No matter what the cost, no matter what I have to do, listen to this. This is Paul right here. No matter what I have to do, I count it wonderful to partake in the sufferings of my Savior. Christian, I would to God that we would think today I count it wonderful. I count it glory to partake in the sufferings of my Savior. I'm going to be honest with you, in this day and age, if you're not partaking in sufferings, you're not in the battle. If you're not partaking in some sort of mockery and ridicule, you're not fighting. Because if you were fighting, there'd be mockery and there'd be ridicule put toward you. They're not going to throw stones at you unless some little kid does. And then you just turn around and put the fire out of him. Paul came back because he loved the people. And he wanted to establish a church where he had been almost killed. He wanted to make sure a church for Jesus Christ started right there. Take the humility of Paul on this first missionary journey. We'll get into the second one in the next coming up weeks. Paul suffered, folks, because he wanted to establish your Savior. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to learn of your servant. I thank you for the opportunity to partake in sufferings. Lord, we are afforded that availability, Lord, and I really think that we should desire, Lord, to serve you in a way that would maybe put us in harm's way a little bit. Lord, I thank you that this church doesn't stick with the status quo, that we go ahead and we serve you and glean to your word and literally do the things that we need to do to become closer to you through your word. Lord, please don't let this church ever lose that fire. Don't let this church ever lose that fervency. And Lord, don't let us ever lose the thought in the picture of Paul. Lord, he was a picture of humility, a picture of obedience, and a picture of service. Help us today, Lord, to take those things and put them in our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.